There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy. You guys, today we get a chance to listen to life coach Lindsay Hume. She is going to bring so much relation and just hope into your entrepreneurial journey that she is going to make you feel like you have a sister in this and really help all of us to kind of get unstuck in the ways that we kind of get in our own way sometimes. So Lindsay, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So girl, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who do you serve? Like, what makes you light up?
Yeah. So I serve women. And what really gets me excited is women doing the thing, right, that makes them light up.
Yes.
Or I guess another way of putting it is like doing the thing that is their God-given gift or purpose. Which I know not all of us know what that is. And so there might be a bit of a journey to that discovery, which I also love to be a part of.
Yeah.
So I love serving women to help them step into that role, create extraordinary goals. So for me, it's all about the goal and the process and like who we become in that process.
And
having that goal being tied or attached to kind of your deepest desires and values. So not necessarily or not at all, right, what society thinks you should have or want, but what truly feels like delicious and fun to you and a life that you want to create. And that looks different for everybody. So that is what really gets me excited. And I think that when women are doing that, we are definitely making an impact in the world for the better.
Yes. When we step into and lean into our divine purpose, right? And what we're put on this planet to do and harnessing and being good stewards of all of the unique strengths and talents that we have. Like there's no limit to what we're capable of. And for me, it's a fun game to see what I'm capable of, like what God can do
for
instead of me getting in my own way. And I love the fact that you touched on a couple of really important things, not only having really big goals. I think we put God in a box, we put ourselves in a box sometimes and have to stretch and think a little bit bigger because it's possible. And then it's not always what the outcome is, but it's the person that we become. It's who we have to show up as on our way there that is literally life-changing.
Right. Yeah, totally agree.
And so what were you doing prior to your entrepreneurial journey? Like, tell us a little bit about your backstory. Yeah.
Sure. So I'll make the first part kind of quick, but I think it's pertinent. So I started out, I think, really as like an assistant, executive assistant, to a partner at a large consulting firm. I loved that job. I felt really connected to the whole team and like very valuable. And it did fulfill me to a certain degree, but there came a point where I was like, I think there's something more for me. And so at that time I went back to school. I continued working for him in the firm and got my master's in counseling psychology, thinking I'll open up my own private practice someday and be a therapist. I completed my master's. I did a year-long kind of internship where you're under the, what's that word?
Apprentice
review, but I guess reviewing your work and making sure everything is okay and going smoothly. And I did that with young kids that were really severely traumatized. And so that was a really eye-opening role for me, and it was really challenging. And in the end, I think it was not what I found my purpose to be. And I kind of had this moment where I was like, okay, this is really great work. And I think it's very important work, but this wasn't my vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was young at the time, you know, I think I was about 26 or 27 and maybe a little bit older. And I just thought, I can't do this. So I think it was like a combination of knowing this isn't my vision, and fear stepped in, right? Like kind of fear, like, can I do this? It seems like too much work now to go and, you know, do another internship in a different type of therapy. I can't afford it. All of these fears came in. And so I think I just went, you know what, I'm going to step back and do what was easy for me, which was to go back to my job as an executive assistant. And so they welcomed me back. And shortly after that, I became, you know, restless again. And so what I decided to do was go and become a management consultant with the same firm. So working externally with their clients to support large business decisions, change management and communication, things like that. And it kind of, I felt like utilized my master's in a way that I had to help leaders communicate with their organization and lead them through change. And also allowed me to stay with a company that I had built my career with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that also was unfulfilling to me. So I still really wasn't listening to myself, and I was working very long hours. I was traveling every week, you know, Monday through Thursday away from home. And I still felt like I wasn't using my God-given gifts. I still felt like you're not tapping into me the way that you could. That would be so beneficial to the organization and to me. And it's a very large organization, and sometimes you can get lost. And so I just went into a very bad, I guess, place, a bad cycle where I, like I said, I was overworked, I was unfulfilled, and it started to take a real toll on my health. And I essentially had what they would call like a nervous breakdown. But what that looks like is not what we have in our heads, which is like, you know, some crazy person falling apart. Right. It's literally your nervous system stops functioning the way that it should. And it can result in symptoms that look different for other people. And for mine, they're very weird symptoms. They make me feel very funny. And they're just unpleasant to live with. And so at that point, I just thought, okay, I need to make a change.
Yeah.
I spent another 4 years working in that role with those symptoms and just trying to manage them. So yoga, therapy, journaling, all these different things.
Can you give us an idea of those symptoms? Because I think people that are listening to this need to hear this, because I feel like you're right. We have this, you know, this mental picture of what a nervous breakdown is, and it's not the reality of what is happening, and people might not even be able to recognize it in themselves. So would you describe that real quick?
Yes. So first sign for me was very strong vibrations that happen in my head, specifically in my head. So almost feels like someone's like banging over and over again inside your head. It feels like they're shaking it. That would happen just randomly and multiple times throughout the day. A telltale sign for me was when I close my eyes, they flutter very, very fast underneath. Tension, like a lot of muscle tension and pain, and almost it feeling like there's a vice going around your neck. And it's really weird. It would sometimes the vice would get so tight, and this is how I would know I was in a stress state. The vice would get so tight that it would feel like my head was almost separate from my body, and the vibrations would get even more intense. So I was unable to do things like just sit like I am now and look at you. Because the vibrations would get too intense. So I would have to sit with my head tilted to one side. I'd constantly be moving. I had to constantly, I could not be caught anywhere without water, because any sort of dehydration would intensify everything. A lot of pain, like with the tension, and just weird. I mean, It's weird.
There briefly, because what people don't realize is that 85% of what we have going on for physical symptoms in our body have an emotional component to them.
Yeah.
Stress being one very prominent emotion that we have that expresses itself in various ways within our body. And I just think this is so powerful part of your story, I guess, because you are talking to us about your journey of discovering your purpose. And it's an important part of that, because I think that sometimes it's really interesting, and myself included, what we're willing to put up with until right. we're ready. Until we're ready.
I talk about that all the time now. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, logically, you can't make sense out of this, right? Why I was willing.
Right. But
to continue in this state, you know, but there's so many reasons why we do it. And right. part of me telling my story is to say, you don't have to wait until this drastic moment.
Right.
You know, and that drastic moment for me is, as far as I can tell, permanent. Now, all the symptoms are much less now, and they're now my signal to when my body needs to rest and when I'm under too much stress, but they won't, as far as I can tell, it's been almost 15 years. They're not going anywhere, right? I'm living with this now.
Yeah.
So my point being is, you can do permanent damage to your system, and it's not worth it. So that's part of what I want women to know, is like, recognize the signs when you are living in a way that is causing so much stress on your body because you're emotionally not fulfilled and doing what you're meant to do.
Yeah, that is so freaking powerful. And I love how you've said over and over again, like, I felt unfulfilled. I felt restless. I mean, I've been there, and it's not that it's a bad situation per se. It's just not right fit for you in that season.
Yeah.
It took you exploring. It took you, you know, leaning back into your comfort zone and then recognizing that restlessness again. So talk to us about when you finally just decided, like, hey, this is no longer for me. And then how did you discover what your thing was? Because I think a lot of my clients do struggle with the clarity piece of, I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. So how did I finally decide? So I guess first step was, I had a child and I knew I couldn't travel for work anymore. I knew that much I couldn't do.
So a door closed for you. Like, sometimes, like, God can do that for us, right? Doors. Yeah. Like, logistically isn't going to work anymore. Right.
Yeah. And it obviously needed to be something that extreme. It's like, I don't have another excuse other than I'm a mom now and you just can't make me do this. Yeah. I cannot leave my home every day. Yeah. And so they moved me into an internal role, like one serving, you know, administratively, but at a different level than being an assistant. So serving the organization instead of their clients. And I still did that for a while. And it was better, but it still wasn't fulfilling. And so I think life coaching for me I had been aware of it for several years at that point. And what happened in my brain was this thought, like, oh, I think that's what I wanted to do when I went to become a therapist, and I didn't know that it existed. And then what sunk in was kind of like shame and embarrassment that I would go and get a really expensive master's degree, not become a therapist, and then become a life coach. It was kind of like, oh, what will people say? I think that really went through my head. Like, I can't do that, you know? But I always kind of came back to it, and I'd look up, you know, information on the internet about it and how to get certified, but no school ever really kind of grabbed my attention or made me feel like, yes, that's what I need. And I'd talk about it with my husband here and there, and he'd be like, you should quit. Like, he was always like, let's just quit. Like, you're miserable. I can't, you know, I don't want to do this anymore either. And so, yeah, just eventually it was like a pattern of that, just going back and forth and sometimes looking up what it was to be a life coach. And then one day I just found the school that I certified with, and it really resonated with me. And
yeah,
it's so weird. It's not just the timing, but like, the amount of money that certification cost was the exact amount I had in my savings account.
None of that is a coincidence.
Right. So I just said to my husband, like, I want to do this. I've got the money. I'm going to do it. And he was like, do it.
Yeah.
So I signed up and I, you know, continued working. And while I did my certification, and then I certified and I gave my notice, and still wasn't like ready to fully let go, you know? And and that's the people pleasing side of me, because I was like, you know, I work for this team and I really want to continue supporting them and I don't want to just go away. So I continued working for them part time for like another 3 or 4 months. And then I was ready. I was like, okay, I think it's time. And I'm just going to go all in and build the business. And so, yeah, it was, like I said, that 3-4 month transition between like kind of ending work fully and starting jumping into it. But like many years of trial and error and dealing with a lot of difficult emotions to take me to the next step.
And I love that, you know, because we've had a chance to talk before, that I love how open you are, because I think that a lot of times entrepreneurs get this unrealistic idea of what it's like. So it's almost like we could say, gosh, Lindsay, you know, you had some trial and error, you figured out what you should be doing, and then now you're just going to ride the unicorn off into the sunset, right? And that doesn't always happen, even for people that have a background like you do within therapy and life coaching, like, you know, the brain. And yet you still have told me in the past, that I would love to go into that, of some of the ways that you have been stuck on your entrepreneurial journey. Tell us a little bit about where you personally have found, you know, getting in your own way on this
journey. Yeah. I think this is the thing I stress too with my clients all the time, is that all of the fear that we feel and that I feel every day of like self-doubt, not knowing if you're really good enough to be serving your clients, having those thoughts like, I don't know the how, right? I have no idea. I've never done this before. They're just completely normal. And quite frankly, as your brain sees it, necessary, you know? But we end up attaching it and making it about ourselves. And I do that too, right? It's just me. It's me. I can't make it work. You know, I see all these other coaches out there and they can make it work, but I'm different. And the truth of it is they're all struggling in some way as well,
yeah,
or have struggled and maybe are on an up curve and are going to struggle again, you know? So this comparison to other people, it's not helpful. And I have just come to realize that all the ways I feel stuck, like I said, not feeling enough, not knowing how to run a business, telling myself that it's too hard, or that who did I think I was, all these different things.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's my brain. That's the part of our brain that's designed like to keep us safe and to keep us comfortable. My authentic self and your authentic self, we don't have any fear.
Right.
Like, it truly doesn't. And so on one hand, you know, we want to be thankful that we feel these moments of like being stuck and having those fears, because it means our brain is working and doing what it should. because without it, we would die.
Yeah. I mean,
literally we would die, because we would just do, we have no fear. Our authentic self is just like, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right. That's like our spirit. That's like our highest self. You know,
the highest self doesn't have any fear. It just has trust, love. All of those different things. And so it's just recognizing this is not unique to you. This is something that we're all going through. And even if you're a coach, even if you're a therapist, even if you're someone that really understands the brain, you still need help.
Yes.
No, you still need support. I still have a coach.
Yep.
A therapist, right? That gets me through these moments, because I can't get out of my own way. I'd say I'm more skilled at it now, and I can take myself through small moments,
yeah,
right? And, or that I may sit in these crummy feelings of, you know, hopelessness for a shorter period of time now, but I still need support. I still need someone else to show me my own, what's happening for me. You know, I can't do it for myself.
And that's just it. Like, I think a lot of people think that there's something wrong with them. I hear this a lot. Like, maybe I'm just not cut out for this. Honestly, none of us are.
No, it's,
I mean, that's just it. Like, the difference between the people who make it work and the people who don't are that we choose to do it anyway, even though it scares the crap out of us. And we are willing to fail and we're willing to learn from that and we're willing to try it again. And it doesn't mean that I'm not scared shitless the whole time that I'm doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that at least for me, it's been really powerful to surround myself with people that I can give myself that extra ounce of courage when I need it. Give myself that little extra outside validation when I need it. I have several coaches. I have friends that are coaches. I have friends that are just amazing friends. And I wouldn't be able to get through this if I hadn't had or don't have people in my circle that are like, you got this, because there isn't a week that goes by that I don't say, what the heck am I doing?
Right. Yeah.
I think that it's important for people to hear that, you guys. I think that it's that, you know, Lindsay and I both have this underlying passion to help you all see what you're capable of. And none of us can see that if we give up, if we give in to the negative self-talk that goes along, we give in the first time it gets hard. We give in the first time that it gets confusing. Right.
Yeah.
So Lindsay, what are some of the things that you've done in your own life and the things that you help other people do to get through some of these really common roadblocks that can get in all of our way and to try to trick us into thinking that we don't have what it takes?
Yeah. So the first thing is, I just think basic awareness or understanding of how the brain actually functions.
Yeah.
And so the two things that I think are really important to know is one that's built to, you know, keep you safe. And so it's prioritizing pleasure. It's trying to avoid pain, and it wants everything to be very efficient and easy, which is why it will offer all of these negative thoughts and feelings to try to stop you from doing this thing, because it's new, it's different, you have no idea what you're doing. It doesn't like it. It's very uncomfortable. It means you have to put yourself out there. People might not like you. When we were tribal in the primitive days, if your tribe didn't like you, if they didn't find you useful, they could, you know, send you away and you would literally die. And so your primitive brain is still thinking, if that person doesn't like me or they reject me on Instagram, I'm dying. And so that's how it's going to react. And so I always give it a lot of compassion and be like, imagine if your partner or your best friend was going to die, what would you say or do to stop them from whatever it is they're doing? And it's like, anything. It won't, your brain will make up any story that it can. And sometimes it sounds really awesome. Sometimes it sounds like, oh, but your job right now isn't that bad.
Yes.
No, you make good money. You have benefits. So you have to be onto it.
Yeah.
The second thing is, and we don't have time, and there's a larger, you know, there's so much out there on this now, but that your brain, you know, makes meaning of everything that's happening. And the meaning that it makes is based on so many things that have nothing to do with you. And so when something happens in your business or in your life, your brain makes a meaning, or in other words, creates a thought, right? Plants a thought in your head about that situation. And what it makes it mean, again, is based on so many things other than just, you know, your personality as a part of that, but so is the religion you grow up in, how your parents raised you, the social media influences you, all of it. And that thought creates whatever feeling you're going to have. So if you're thinking negative thoughts, you're going to feel negative, and negative emotion motivates usually non-behavior, something where you're procrastinating or not doing the thing.
Right.
So it's those two things, and understanding how to start to be aware of those thoughts, how they're actually impacting you and the results they're getting for you in your life, and then how to start to change them. And I think the most important part about that I want to say is, this is not positive thinking. That is not what we're doing in coaching, at least not with me, because it's not helpful to tell your brain that you are amazing and you know exactly what to do when the truth is you feel like you don't know anything.
Right.
So we talk more about useful thinking, like thinking a thought like, I've figured out hard shit before, or, you know, like, I can figure this out. I can learn how to run a business, which is just a very different thought than I have no idea what I'm doing, which creates hopelessness and ultimately you quitting.
Right.
So those are the two main things that I do, is just remind myself how the brain works and then work on my thoughts and just notice with awareness and without judgment, just awareness of how my thoughts are impacting the results I'm getting and what I can do to shift that for myself.
I think let's go into a little bit more about how you redirect those thoughts, because I love that. I am a big fan of affirmations, but I also believe that like sometimes you have to choose an affirmation that is believable enough that mm-hmm. you're willing to accept it instead of saying that's a bunch of
BS. Yes. And
so I would love for you to just kind of give us a little bit more insight into that, because I think that a lot of people need to hear this message, because you're right. It's like, you know, I'm feeling like, okay, I suck. Like nobody wants what I have, like whatever that. And then your brain starts to look for outside validation that that's true. Right. And then it just continues to perpetuate that icky feeling until you don't do anything. And then your results reflect that. And then you've proved to yourself that you don't have it. And then you quit.
Yes, so, exactly.
So you can find ways to interrupt that pattern, because just like you said, our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings are what create our actions or inaction, and our actions are what create our results. And so going back to the root of that, our thoughts, let's just say that I'm saying, I suck. Nobody wants what I have. So how would you readdress that so that it becomes something more helpful that can redirect my feelings and therefore my actions and results?
There's a few ways. The first thing I would say though is you will probably notice a feeling before you notice a thought.
Yep.
So you probably won't necessarily know that you're telling yourself that you suck. Maybe you will. People with more awareness might be at that stage already. Yep. But most people will notice I'm feeling anxious or I'm feeling depressed or hopeless. So you note that feeling, and the best thing to do in that moment is to just feel it, which nobody wants to do.
Right. Right.
So it's to just feel it. It's not to go surf the internet or go, you know, watch Netflix or anything. It's to really process that feeling. And sometimes that can look like something very productive, like going on a walk. I'd say that you could do without listening to something or talking to someone that will process an emotion. But for the most part, it's really just letting it be without judgment and processing it until it passes. You don't really want to start working on the thoughts until the emotion is processed, because it's not useful. It doesn't really work. So process the feeling, then start to journal and just think about, what am I thinking? What are all the thoughts that are coming up for me right now that are creating this anxiety or this hopelessness? And just get them all out. It's not one specific thought. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to look at your journaling page and be like, oh God, there's 50 thoughts. Which one is it? It's like, just pick one.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. And then when you look at that thought and you think about, okay, when I think that I don't know what I'm doing or I suck and I feel this way, I end up stopping work. I end up like for days ruminating on how much I'm not built for this and all of these different things. And the result is I don't reach my people. I don't do the thing that I want to do. And so what you do is just think, what is a different thought that I can think that is more motivating for me, that is still believable though? And that's the key that you said, it has to be believable. So it can be just as simple as like, I'm really trying, you know, like I'm really trying, or all I have to do is take the next step. You know, I don't have to know exactly what I'm doing. Let's just take the next step. So it's just thinking about you and what's useful to you and like your nervous system that will motivate some type of action that leads you towards your goal. And then it's about practicing awareness, right? So then it's noting every time that feeling comes up, finding the thought and re-practicing thinking it. Once you get into the awareness stage where you really are aware of when you're thinking it, so now we don't even have to wait for the feeling to happen, we know we're thinking it, we practice the new thought. Literally, you just have to practice thinking it.
Right.
One of the other things I would say that I've found really helpful is to every single day look for ways that it's working.
Yes.
Every day, and write it down. In the smallest ways. So when you make a post and one person likes it, don't allow your brain to tell you, oh, just one person liked my post today. Allow that to be a sign that it's working.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Then that helps rewire the brain as well. Like get it into a different state where it starts to see how things are happening for you.
Yes.
Instead of against you. And that is another way that isn't necessarily like practicing a thought over and over, but that will help you start to think in a different, more useful way.
Yes, because your brain will automatically look for evidence to prove that it's right. So if your brain thinks that you suck, it's going to continue to show you evidence that only one person liked my post today. So I obviously suck, right? Yeah. Whereas you have to restructure the way that you see evidence to have meaning around it that's consistent with the new belief that you want to have around yourself and allow for yourself to find evidence to prove that new belief, right? So that your body can start to accept it as truth.
Yeah. And
automatically then it'll start to look for evidence outside of you just because that's the way our brain is wired.
Yeah. And you already have thoughts in you that work to achieve big things. So if you just go back to something that you're proud of or that you've achieved in your life, whether it be big or small, like one of my moments was really small. It was a 2-minute presentation I did. And one of my moments is getting my master's, right? But I can go back and pinpoint like, what was the thought I was thinking?
Yes.
Right? Yes. What was the thought? I was thinking I was made to do this. Like when I was getting my master's, I just thought I was made to be a therapist. This is happening. Yes. And so if that's a thought that worked for you to before, just recycle it. Start to practice it again. Like start, find those thoughts that have worked for you in the past and start there. They may transform into something different as you're going through your thought work, but just start with ones that you know you've used before and that have worked for you. And it sounds weird. Like it almost sounds like, oh, sure, I'm just going to go back and think of a time when I was doing something and I'll remember what I was thinking. But my simple answer is yes, you will. You 100% will remember. You'll be able to go back in
there. Giant file cabinet of all of the experiences and thoughts we've ever had. Yeah. So in there, it's just a matter of whether or not you're willing to look for it, right?
Yeah. You'll find it.
One of the things that I find that I kind of want to just tie all of these things together with what we were talking about at the beginning, which is that clarity around what we're meant to do, what our purpose is. You know, you mentioned that you were restless, you felt unfulfilled. And now you're, you know, stepping into this beautiful new revelation that you're meant to be a life coach. Do you find that yourself or your clients ever struggle with doubting that this is exactly where they're supposed to be because they have expectations around how they're supposed to be feeling, that they're not supposed to ever get restless again, or they're not ever supposed to feel unfulfilled again, or it's not always fun? Do you know what I'm saying? And so people like sucked into this confusion, stuckness again, and it can talk you out of stepping into where you're supposed to go. So what are your thoughts around?
Yeah. Well, so first of all, I just want to say, yes, it happens with my clients and it happens with me, right? Like I get in moments where I'm just like, really, is this really what I should be doing? Like I probably should just go back to corporate. Life would be so much easier. Or, you know, like I just have those moments where I'm like, I don't know. I don't think there's not a simple answer for this, and it's not a simple fix. Like we're just human. This is how the brain works, right? So you've heard it before, like you just can pick your discomfort, right? You can be uncomfortable pursuing something that feels valuable to you and fulfilling. Whether you think it's your purpose or not, even let's say it feels valuable and fulfilling to you, and you can feel that discomfort, or you can feel the discomfort of going and doing something that's quote unquote easy, but that doesn't fulfill you. Either side, I'm feeling some negative emotion.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, that's how I start to look at it. And that's how I will present it with my clients. It's like, just, you don't have to pick either one, right? Ever. Or like one isn't better than the other. You just have to pick which discomfort you're willing to live with.
Right.
Yeah. So, and no matter what you do, you're going to have it. And that's just part of the human experience. So it's coming up for you, even while you're pursuing your passion, just because you're human.
Yes. Like,
that's the only answer. There is no other answer. And it's not easy. So the brain's like, whoa, red flag. This is getting too hard. let's go back and do. It's even like you'll start a new project in your business.
Yes.
And it will want to pull you back. Yes. Right? It'll be like, no, let's just stay doing one-on-one coaching group. Ugh. Like, it's going to happen every single time you take a step forward.
Yes. I love that, you guys. And so I felt like Lindsay is going to have just the most amazing answer to that question, because I think that a lot of times we get stuck in unrealistic expectations. And that's what I wanted this conversation to be about, is just giving ourselves grace, giving ourselves the permission to be curious around things, giving ourselves the permission to not have it all figured out all the time, and just to lean into it, have fun with it, not take ourselves so stinking seriously, and allow this beautiful adventure to unfold in all the ways that it's meant to unfold, right?
Yeah. Give yourself, like, I like to always, I don't know why, but like compare it to like a relationship or like marriage. It's like, Did you really think that this was going to just be fun the whole time? And if you go into it thinking it's going to be fun the whole time, it's going to be awful. You're going to be so disappointed, right? Because it's not. There are wonderful parts of it. There's difficult parts of it. Like, my partner annoys me sometimes. I need time by myself. Like, there's all these different things that if you just expected the human experience, you would, I think, feel so much better, even when you're feeling the negative emotion, because you wouldn't have the added drama and stress of saying it shouldn't be like this.
Yes.
When we do that, it just adds to our, to our difficult emotions, because it's exactly how it should be.
Yes.
Whatever is happening is exactly what should be happening, even if it doesn't feel good.
High aspirations, low expectations.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, there's so many things that I could talk to you about. Like, it's so much fun to talk to others. And the thing is, like, at the end of the day, and Lindsay, I'm going to speak for myself, but like, there are days where it's hard. There are days when I feel like I'm doubting myself. There are days when it's scary, but I would still choose this life 1,000 times over.
Yes.
And even though I loved my previous life in my, you know, 20-year anesthesia career, I would still choose this life, even on the hard days. Yes. And so would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. I could never go back to one working, you know, for someone else, I think is the big thing, and not being able to control my own time.
Yep.
And not doing something that feels very like passionate for me, fulfilling, and like I'm making a difference, all the things. Like, I think when it gets really hard for me, that's what I think about. I'm like, do we want to go back there? And it's like, no. Okay, then we can keep pushing through. You know, this is possible.
And I think, like, for me, being an entrepreneur, the most exciting part of it is that there is no ceiling to what I'm capable of. In corporate, there was a ceiling to what I could get paid. There was a ceiling to the level of in the organization I could get to. And I just love the fact that I get to make this what I want to make it. And when days get hard, I have to remind myself that I get to see how capable I am, and I can't wait to see what happens, what God can do through me. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we haven't had a chance to touch on before we wrap this up?
I think the only thing I want to say is just, like, you know, we talk about these extraordinary goals, and like we're talking right now is like, there's no, the sky's the limit and these kinds of things. And I just want women to know that it's also okay to just create what feels good to you.
Yeah.
You know? And so for me right now, for example, part of that is like taking more time with my young son. He's 4, you know, and deciding to take my day from 10 hours a day to 5 or 6, and then spending the other time with him. And that might mean reduced income for you, or, you know, whatever it is, or maybe you can't have the business and write a book this year. But I think it's also really important to just know that part of the beauty of doing what is purposeful to you is that you get to create your life the way that feels good to you.
Yes.
And so I also just want those women out there who are just like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to do such big things. It doesn't have to be big in everyone else's eyes. It just has to be like meaningful for you. And if that means working 2 days a week and spending the other 3, you know, with your family or your friends or whatever, I say, go for it. That's the beauty of doing it. You know, it doesn't have to be mind blowing, like make the news kind of impact. Yeah.
Success to you. And you get to create your life by design, your business side.
And you can always change it, right? Like if like this is the season of your life where it's I'm working less, and then you decide in 2 years that you want to work more, you can. That's the great thing is you get to just change it whenever you want. So
and it's so much fun. It's a right. So you guys make sure that you check out the show notes that you can learn all about Lindsay, what she's up to, follow her journey, connect with her, all the things. And of course, as always, I love, love, love seeing your reviews on these podcast episodes. It's so much fun to see what you take from it, what your favorite part is. And I know Lindsay would appreciate that as well. If you feel like this is an episode that someone else needs to hear, please be sure to share it out on social media, tag us so that we get a chance to celebrate, you know, you being part of our community here. And I just absolutely am so honored that you guys tune in each week to spend time here on the Untuck podcast. Lindsay, one of the things that we do every single time we wrap up one of these episodes is to ask the guests to think of a question that you would like the audience to think about that's going to move them from where they are to where they want to be. So what's a good question to have them ponder?
I have a question that is more like one that you can use in each step that you take or kind of decisions that you're making in your life that I like to use daily. And it's something around like, is this decision going to take me closer to what I want or further away? You can also think about it in terms of like, is it restrictive or is it expansive? Is this decision out of self-love or is it out of fear? Those types of things to just really get in tune with like making decisions that are always propelling you towards where you want to go as opposed to what feels safe and expected of you.
Love it. That's so much. So beautiful.
That's my favorite. I do
the same thing. So love it. You guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Lindsay, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And you guys have a great week, okay? Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.